This is the Best Boys Podcast with Jessica Garcia and Monica Montoya.
Greetings.
Greetings on this fine Wednesday evening.
Wednesday evening.
We missed you all last week.
Yes, we missed you all. We took a small break because of Hurricane Ian.
Yeah.
I hope everyone is safe and sound in their homes.
We did it because Monica had to work.
So I had to work.
She couldn't record.
And because then I have some coworkers who are on that side of the world.
Listen, all I'm saying is I understand where your priorities lie. And
yes.
It is not with the Best Boys family. And I just wanted all of our listeners to know that.
Do you know who the Try Guys are on YouTube?
Duh.
Are you hearing about this drama happening?
Yeah, I mean, the drama is just that Ned Fulmer cheated on his wife with a staff member.
Literally.
Yeah.
The way that you said, like, my priorities were not with the Best Boys family, I was like, wow. I'm really taking a big Ned Fulmer all over this.
You're taking a big Ned.
I am. My Ned is massive.
You've been netting.
I have a massive Ned. I'm telling you, first of all, I did not think that we were going to spend the last quarter of this year hearing this drama from the Try Guys.
And then they had to release a fucking whole video.
Well, granted, it was only 5 minutes long, which I did appreciate.
That's true. But it was like a whole video detailing why they made the decision, which, like, I get it, but also we know why. He cheated on his wife with a fucking employee. That's why.
Well, it has nothing to do with him cheating on his wife.
It's employee.
Yeah, that's horrible, obviously, but yes. Like, no one's going to get fired from their job for cheating on
their
spouse. Nor should they. Yeah. Which, I mean, obviously we're not team medical.
No, but like, you don't deserve to lose your job because you fucked someone else.
Exactly. The problem there is
the employee part.
Yes, is the like power dynamics issue.
Yes.
So, you know, they're dealing with that whole mess over there. I'm fucking up over here. Adam Levine's fucking up over there. I mean, like, we're all just fucking up.
Except for me.
This is the season of the fuck up.
We've been doing just fine.
Yes, you guys have been. Clearly. Clearly you're doing so fine.
I'm doing fine, okay?
Maybe I should just leave.
Oh, I'll maybe do this by I myself. Just, Best boy.
Yeah, maybe I should just issue one of those notes app apology statements and just get the fuck out.
Oh, and screenshot it and then post it on Instagram,
yeah.
But then write the whole thing in the caption.
In the caption. And yeah. Then like end it with like, I love you all or like whatever.
Blessings.
Blessings. I can only grow from here.
I'm taking some time to work on myself.
I'm taking
and to
some
reflect.
Time to listen and reflect
and, if you
and
could,
heal.
If you could honor my space.
I just want I want my honored privacy at this time.
Thank you so much.
There will only be honoring. Thank you.
Thank you.
But yeah, anyway, all that to say, we did not release an episode last
week.
But we're here. We're back.
We are.
Nicole Kidman.
Yes.
Wrapping up her month. I'm so excited. We've got one of the most, I think, polarizing films of the bunch.
Yeah.
I would say just at this table, polarizing.
Yeah.
And even out there in the masses. So a little bit of taste of what's to come. Lucille Ball.
Lucille Ball.
Lucy, I'm home. My name is Cuban Pete. I'm the king of the rumba beat. And everyone goes chick, chicky, boom, chick, chick, chicky, boom, chick, chicky, boom, boom.
That's not how it goes.
It is.
Nor.
It's on the mask. It's in this movie. And
I can guarantee you when Javier Bardem was fucking it up on set, I don't know that he did, but, you know, in my fantasy. And Nicole was just like, Nor, Javier, Nor.
And he was like, my name is Cuban Pete. I'm the king of the rumba beat.
You're doing too many chick chick booms.
I'm not, though. That's literally what it is.
It's only two.
Chick chick chicky chick, chick, boom. Chick chick
chicky
chick,
boom. Chick chicky boom.
Chick
chick chicky boom. Chick chicky boom.
Chick chicky boom.
Chick
chicky boom.
Done. Not a third one.
Why not? It doesn't sound right.
Well, take that up with Cuban
My
Pete.
My name is Cuban Pete. I'm the king of the rumble beat. Anyway, that's just a little taste
of what's to come.
And we'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now back to the show.
We're talking about being the Ricardos today.
Being the Ricardos.
I'm going to tell you about the movie. You ready, Monica?
Yeah, it's an Amazon movie.
Being the Ricardos came out in 2021, written and directed by Aaron Sorkin.
Jesus Christ.
If you listened to John Favreau's My Daddy, we did an early Aaron Sorkin episode, a couple months in, I think.
Yeah.
And love his writing.
Great writing.
The man needs to stop directing.
He needs
things.
To stop directing. Like, he really, stop really it. Does. He needs to end it.
Aaron, stop it.
Aaron, enough.
We've had enough.
We've had enough. We don't want it anymore.
I don't want the direction. Keep it to the words.
Keep it to the words, and you'll be fine. If you try to pick up a camera, you'll end yourself.
Okay. In 1952... Hollywood power couple Lucille Ball, played by Nicole Kidman, and Desi Arnaz, played by Javier Bardem, face personal and professional obstacles like communism and infidelity that threaten their careers, their relationship, and their television show.
Yeah.
What? Why are you laughing at communism?
I feel like it's just being shown in such a negative light in this film.
I mean, yeah, when is it not?
It's the Red Scare.
It's always the communist.
You're a dang commie, aren't you? I'm a combat pilot.
I'm a communist pilot.
I'm a commie. I belong to you. This is a wild, 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 wild film.
Let's just start with the complaints. Let's get them out of the way quickly so that we can discuss Nicole.
So
complaint number one.
The timeline of this movie is awful. Stupid.
Awful timeline.
And also, like, the period of time that was chosen for this specific, like, I'm extremely confused as to why Aaron Sorkin decided that this was the period of Lucille Ball's life. Like, she wanted to see us to see. I don't know.
I don't get it. Well, okay. To be fair, this was a thing I had no idea about. I never knew that there was a period of time where Lucille Ball was accused of being a communist.
Well, she wasn't blacklisted. So she was just being accused.
Yeah, she was being accused.
But then she was, like, fully pardoned or cleared or what
Correct.
Have you.
Yes. So I think it's an interesting period of time that not a lot of people know about. And I think when you think Lucille Ball, you don't think about those, you don't think politics. And so I think maybe that juxtaposition is what led him to do it. But also it's Aaron Sorkin. So of course he chose something like political and interesting.
Of course he fucking did, yeah.
But like you said, the timeline is so fucked up. They jump all over the place, but it's so unclear where they're ever supposed to be. That it's just, I don't like it.
The movie does so little to world build, frankly.
Yeah.
It's really just like the costumes and the set and like truly that's it.
Yeah.
The score is so beautiful. I don't know who did the score, but it feels so out of place with how modern the movie feels.
Yeah.
It's really weird. And it's hard because you're staring at like, characters that are supposed to be from a completely different time period. Mm-hmm. But then the way that the movie is shot feels so modern and out of like it, they just feel like they're constantly fighting with each other.
Yes.
It's very, very strange. It's a very strange experience,
and
I will say.
He like very half-heartedly, if even half, committed to the idea of like, this is, we're showing this in like documentary style.
Yeah.
Because they randomly had actors pretending to be the older versions of real people in the movie, being like, yeah, isn't this period of time crazy with Lucy and Desi? But like,
that's it.
Like, it didn't go any, there was no reason why it needed to be mockumentary style. There was very little differentiation in how those two things were shot. So it really just felt like, it's not actually different time periods. It's just someone's in a costume and someone's not.
Yeah.
You know?
No, literally. Yeah. It's hard because, again, like, the entire thing is shot exactly the same.
Yeah.
The only difference was in the moments when Lucille Ball is looking back or thinking about setting up a comedic scene, mm-hmm. where it will pull you into like her brain and she sees the scene in her mind and it is in black and white.
Yeah.
But it's shot the same.
Yeah.
But in black and white. It's very, very strange. It feels really disjointed and a little bit surreal, but like not in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so unfortunate because this script is bomb. Yeah. Like their dialogue, fire. All this to say, I think I'm truly still in the VW Beetle of Aaron Sorkin should not direct his own
films. Absolutely not. He should not direct his own films. Luckily, he had a cast who did an incredible job on their own. Like, and there are a lot of, I was about to say ensemble members. There were a lot of supporting characters who I thought did really, really amazing. Like Tony Hale.
Oh my God.
Crushed.
He crushed. And it's crazy because I had just watched Harkus Parkus Tur.
Yeah. And he's in it.
And I thought it was so fucking good. Like, I know that people, which slight tangent, I know that people really hate on Hocus Pocus 2.
I mean, it's
like,
stupid.
Or like, they're super split or whatever. Yeah. I thought it was campy deliciousness. I don't really care.
It's exactly what I expected it to be.
Exactly. It is exactly what I expected it to be. And Tony Hale killed. He's having like a moment right now. I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
He's killing it. And he killed it in his role in being the Ricardos.
Yes.
He was very subdued, but at the same time, like it seemed like his top was about to blow any second, mm-hmm. but everything that came out of his mouth was so soft.
Yes.
And he's so soft-spoken and small.
Well, and then he does blow up and he's like the craziest sort of, and it's amazing.
And the payoff is so good. You're like, yes, Tony.
Yeah.
Lay it out on the floor.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And then Aaliyah Shawkat.
Yes. She was fire in this.
Yeah.
She was so good. First of all, put this bitch in more movies.
I mean, she's coming up too.
She really is. She really, really is. Obviously, she started out doing film, doing TV.
Mm-hmm.
Most well-known role is maybe in Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Then she got a little older, did Arrested Development again. Big mistake on everyone. Yeah.
Search Party.
She did Search Party. And now she's in a big old Aaron Sorkin film.
Mm-hmm.
Very proud of this bitch. I hope she moves.
She's awesome.
I hope she moves Mountains.
Mountains.
And whatnot. But she was so good in this. She was like she was a really solid anchor.
Yeah.
In the middle of so much chaos.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, that was kind of like the elements around. Obviously there was this little cameo by the guy who plays Robbie in New Girl. Great.
Yeah, that's the most important one.
That was frankly the most important one. But yeah, no, everything was really splendid. All the actors were really, really splendid. It just overall just felt very disjointed. Felt you couldn't follow the timeline for shit. Like there was just no.
Yeah.
He did not give you a hand there. He was just
and it's tough because you can't even. I think what they tried to rely on was like changing the way Lucy looked to differentiate time periods.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that she had only met Desi like 8 years prior or
literally,
something like that.
Yes.
Like they hadn't been together that long.
And she was already pretty, I mean, she was not like 30, old now.
She was like 39.
Yeah. Like not old by like today's standards, but like back in those times, she was already pretty, an older woman.
So the time that this is supposed to take place is when Lucille Ball is like 39 or something like that. And so the flashbacks in quotes that we're seeing is when she's like 32.
Yep.
And really hard to tell Which so is hard. Which it's not like going between like 18 and 39, no. You know, which like, there would be a lot of work to do to get that transition. But like with this one, Aaron Sorkin relied too much on visuals. And unfortunately, there was no way to make them any more clear.
No.
Yeah.
Plus this movie, I will say, I do have like a really soft spot for this movie just because it dealt with so much criticism right off the bat. Before it even had a chance to like get seen by anyone.
Yeah.
Cate Blanchett was supposed to be playing, which, Jesus Christ, Aaron, he wants only Aussies in the building.
I mean, the best.
So it was supposed to be Cate Blanchett doing this film. She couldn't do it because of scheduling issues. Sad, sad. Frankly, I think I would have paid good money to see Cate Blanchett do Lucille Ball. First of all, that's so crazy. Like, what an insane choice.
I know.
It's so left field that like I need it. Absolutely. Like, I need to watch it. It's so out of left field. And then it was given to Nicole Kidman.
Mm-hmm.
And that generated a lot of heat. People were angry. People thought it should have gone to Deborah Messing.
Yes.
Because she did it in that like one episode of Will and Grace.
She looks a lot like her.
And she looks a lot like her.
But that's about it.
But that's literally it, right? But anyway, there was like a whole campaign against Nicole Kidman mm-hmm. by the internet. Everyone was like, fuck this bitch. We don't want her playing Lucille Ball.
Yeah.
And then when the initial promotional photos of her in the whole hair, makeup, costume came out, people were like 50-50. There was a solid like 50-50 split where people were like, this might actually be good. And the other 50 were like, this is going to be fucking terrible.
Yeah.
So I will say, like, I do feel for this movie, Nicole has been very outspoken about how she endured all of that and how like Aaron Sorkin essentially like talked her off deciding to like quit the film mm-hmm. and like she almost like she really was against like playing this role in a lot of ways because of the public backlash and because she didn't think she could do it, but then she did it.
Yeah.
And we can talk a lot more obviously about her performance, but just leading up to it, I think it took a lot of courage to play such an iconic character,
right?
Knowing that like she could very well fail.
Oh yeah.
So the balls are there. Check.
Balls are there.
Check.
We have assessed the balls.
Balls. Present. Check. Present.
And accounted for.
And accounted for. So right off the bat, good job, Nicole.
Yeah, I have a lot of feelings about her performance. I mean, first of all, her performance was excellent.
It was excellent.
I think her dialect work was really, really, really good because, oh, you don't agree.
I was going to say, yes, absolutely. For some reason, and I said this when I was watching it with Aaron, not Aaron Sorkin. Her like O's uh-huh. need a lot of work.
Yeah.
But it's the same in like every film. Whether she's doing an American accent or any other accent, her O's are the same.
Yeah. I do think that like, because I mean, we've seen her in tons of things where she plays Americans. I do think that her accent in this improved, like her dialect work in making it even more less Australian.
Yeah.
I think she did great. I think she did great really dropping into like the lower octave that Lucille Ball actually spoke in real life.
Yes.
Which a lot of people don't like. I was watching this. I watched like half of it with Sebastian and he was like, you know, I think the problem is like she's playing this character and like she's so committed to acting like Lucille Ball, but it comes across as like it comes across as caricature-y. And I was like, I actually think that the problem is that everyone knows Lucille Ball as I Love Lucy.
As Lucy Ricardo.
So few people have actually seen her in interviews or seen what she was like in real life. And what she was like in real life was a fucking battleship of a woman.
Yes.
She was like a goddamn war horse.
She was smart as a whip. She was fearless. She was like, she was dedicated to making it in this business.
Yeah. She had like a deeper, harsher way of speaking mm-hmm. and she was very direct.
Yes.
And really caught people off guard with what she said, which is why she was able to be so fucking funny on television.
Yes.
And so I think that's where some of this like caricaturiness comes off. If you watch this movie and you're feeling that, I think it's partially just because we we aren't used to seeing that from Lucille.
Well, what we're used to seeing is Lucille Ball, the vaudeville performer.
Right.
We're used to seeing the overdrawn lips, which that was not how she wore her lipstick on the reg, y'all. Like, no. She overdrew them on purpose. She really arched her eyebrows on purpose. She dyed her hair flaming red for that comedic effect. Mm-hmm. That is her playing a person playing. That is Nicole playing a person playing a person.
Yeah.
In Nicole playing just Lucille Ball, she did a fucking phenomenal job.
Yeah.
And I loved how much grit she brought to the character.
Yeah.
And how she didn't let how soft maybe other people might see her as affect her performance in any way, shape, or form. She was very thorough in her research. She looked really incredible. Her physicality was wonderful playing specifically Lucille Ball. I think where my mixed feelings come in is when she plays Lucille Ball playing Lucy Ricardo.
Yeah.
And that's where she kind of loses me just a little bit.
Totally. Yeah. She doesn't slip into that character as easily.
No.
And I mean, to be fair, it's hard. It's a mountain of a task.
Yes.
You know, and I think where she settled, which was, I think, a decent place to settle rather than doing it really badly, was getting the physicality down and not worrying too much about the voice, because I think the voice was one of the places that she lost me.
Yeah.
It was doing Lucy, I love Lucy's voice.
Yeah.
And I think she just settled with, okay, physicality, and I'll do the inflection of the way she talks, but not the pitch of her voice, etc.
Yeah.
Because I think if she had tried to do that, it would have been really bad.
I also think that and maybe this has nothing to do with her as an actor and everything to do with the prosthetics or mm-hmm. her own face. She just could not get that facial physicality that Lucy Ricardo had.
Yes.
Right. That was really fucking hard. And it was difficult to, it was almost cringy to watch her attempt mm-hmm. that eyebrow raise, that puffed out lips, the I said this the other day, but Lucille Ball had a really Play-Doh-y face mm-hmm. where she could literally mold it into kind of whatever she wanted at any given moment.
Yeah.
And part of what made her such a star was her physicality, was her facial and her her body. The what she was able to communicate to the audience with her face and her body,
mm-hmm.
unmatched, unfucking matched.
Yeah. I almost would have preferred they put less prosthetics on Nicole. See, okay, here's the issue. Nicole is in her 50s and go off, girl. I don't care how old you are playing whatever age character.
Yes. See our last rant about Nicole Kidman in the Mew Mew ad or whatever.
But there is almost a 20-year age difference between the age Nicole Kidman is in real life and the character that she's supposed to be playing. And it's not older, it's younger. She's supposed to be almost 20 years younger than what she is.
That's two decades.
Yeah. They put so much fucking makeup and prosthetics on her to make her look younger, which I totally understand, but in the process made her look like she couldn't move her face because she had too much Botox or something.
Yep. Yep.
And so
effect? Not there.
I almost wish they'd just been she looks like she's in her 50s and we're pretending she's in her 30s.
We're suspending this disbelief. Exactly. Let's just
because
do
they
this.
Fucking let Javier Bardem, who's 57 years old, and he was supposed to be playing a 33-year-old,
and
because Desi
him-
was 6 years younger than Lucy in real life. And they did nothing to his face to age him down.
Well, that's a whole other conversation.
Well, I know.
Too.
I'm just saying, I just kind of wish that they had just done nothing to her.
I agree. I absolutely agree with that. I think that it really just toned down her performance in a way that was so detrimental to the film. They really should have reassessed that. It's one of those things where she definitely, it was not her call. There was probably nothing that Nicole herself could do. I'm sure the baddie did her best. Mm-hmm. But frankly, it was not giving.
Yeah.
That entire, those flashbacks I was talking about earlier are those like moments in her brain when she like looks at what the scene could be comedically, mm-hmm. With her physicality, with her face, with her movements, like all of that in black and white, those little scenes, that's when she loses us completely. That right. is when she loses her audience completely. And it is so, I do not think that the filmmakers realized how detrimental that was to the film until it was like too late probably.
Yeah. It's really tough because it's almost like to get the performance they wanted, it should have been a time in Lucille Ball's life when she was a bit older.
Oh yeah.
You totally. Know, but I mean, I love Nicole Kidman as Lucille Ball. So it's just kind of,
it's weird.
It's just tough.
I feel a lot of personal tension because I loved her so much as Lucille Ball.
Yeah.
And I hated her so much as Lucy Ricardo.
Yeah.
And it's really, really tough to be in that space because you want so badly to like all aspects of this film, yeah. and you literally just can't.
Yeah.
And it's really hard because Nicole Kidman was nominated for an Oscar for this role. She was nominated for an Academy Award. I think she won the Golden Globe for this role. And it's one of those situations where you're looking at it and you're just like, were there no other actors that year? What's going on?
It's true. I mean, I think this is a film that is indicative of like the crisis that the film industry is in at the moment.
Bitch, yes. Like, oh, bitch. Do not even get me started. It's
very representative of like the material that we have available.
It's rough out there, you guys.
The filmmakers that we're recycling.
They made Blonde. Like, it's rough out there, you guys.
I haven't seen Blonde yet.
Ooh, girl.
But... like, also, why is everything fucking shot on digital and so shiny?
What's happening here?
Like, I don't understand it.
I don't know, you guys.
It doesn't make any sense to me, but I digress. And I do want to say that the thing that I loved most about her performance, I think, is that you can kind of tell that at certain points, Nicole Kidman, in terms of her acting, like, threw up her hands and was just like, I am just a vessel for
the script.
Yeah, for the script and for Lucille Ball to come through. And the important thing to take away, I think, from the movie is that so many people don't realize how, like, that Lucille Ball was, I love Lucy. Like, she was all of it. She was a comedic genius. Like, those jokes work because of her. And maybe she was, like, kind of like a comedy dictator to a fault at times. But she is the reason why that show was a massive success because Absolutely. She was a fucking boss bitch Yes. and was not afraid of people hating her. And she was not afraid of like pushing the envelope. And yes, some of the jokes may seem like cheesy now, but when you think about it back then, it's like very calculated vaudevillian
height of
humor.
Comedy. Yeah.
And it's what people fucking loved. And it was all because of her. And Nicole Kidman does an amazing job as this, like, I'm not fucking around version of Lucille Ball.
Absolutely. I think that she screwed every loose screw that she could within herself. Obviously, there were a couple of loose screws. Some of them straight up just came out. but I think that she worked with what she had. She did what she was capable of. And I think the end result gave us a really beautiful look into who Lucille Ball, the woman, was.
Right.
And I think that like the movie itself also wants you so badly to understand how sexist her arena was and how much she had to hide herself or dim herself in order for her husband to feel better about himself, in order for the male writers in the room to feel better about themselves, in order for the direct, like the amount of hoops that she had to jump through in order to just do her fucking show, astronomical.
Yeah.
And how she was such a brilliant pioneer in women doing comedy. And she always acknowledged the people before her. I mean, even in this film, she was constantly talking about like the other women in the room, the other women before her, the other comedic geniuses before her and that were current in her time. And she obviously at one point wanted to be a serious actress,
yeah,
and be up there with the greats, and she couldn't do that. And so she said, let me pivot. I'm not going to stop doing this.
Yeah.
It's a story about resilience. It's a story about like discipline and like not giving up, not, you know, refusing to stop believing in herself. And I think it's a really great look into a comedy giant that we don't really get to see every day. And for that, I was extremely grateful. Like, I really didn't know a lot about Lucille Ball going into this. Frankly, like, I watched a lot of episodes of I Love Lucy when I was little, just because for whatever reason, my dad really liked them. And so I have like her voice in my head and I know who her character was. But to see her as a whole human being, as a three-dimensional character in this film, was really a treasure. And to watch Nicole Kidman do it in her own way and kind of take it and run with it, I genuinely like those parts of the film. I really, really, really enjoyed. Like, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah, I agree.
Nicole.
Well, we have to tell you the best boys for this
film. We really, really do. And that, by the way, concludes our month of Nicole Kidman.
Yes. Should we tell them what's coming up this month,
Monica? We should. Scary things are coming up this month. We're doing something that you can really sink your teeth into. It'll make your blood run cold. Garlic.
Okay. So on Being the Ricardos, the best boy's rigging grip is Michael B. Gonzalez.
Woo-hoo! The rigging electric best boy, Greg Lopez. This feels like a graduation.
I know. And finally, the best boy grip is Peter J. Yari. I think that's how you say his name.
That was very graduation.
Woo! Thank you. You have your degree now. Na, 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 na. Na, 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 na,
na. Na, 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 na. Okay.
Na.
What's happening next month?
Next month. We are doing a month of vampire films.
Month of vampire films.
3 weeks of vampire films.
3 weeks of vampire films. Why? It's fucking October. It's October. I don't know how to explain myself to you. Just listen to it.
So keep your eyes peeled.
We've got some really underrated, really exciting films coming up.
Yes.
Stay tuned. Buckle your seatbelts. Buckle your shoes.
Buckle those belts.
Buckle those belts, shoes, purses, whatever can be buckled. I hear those Hermes bags can be buckled. Oh. Buckle those.
I'm assuming, your Birkin bag?
I'm assuming you guys are all rich. So
everyone who listens to our podcast makes over six figures.
Buckle your Himalayan Birkins, bitches. And let's go to Spooky Town. We're going to be talking about vampiros.
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 With their teeth.
With their dientes.
And their blood. I don't know. How do you say blood in Spanish?
Do they have blood in them, or do they only drink blood?
That's I think they just drink it.
That's my biggest question.
But I don't really know how vampire digestion works.
It's hard for me because what do they get out of the blood that like fuels them? Is it the iron? Couldn't they just eat a bunch of iron?
I don't think so. I think it's the blood. Listen, they're not real.
I'm operating under the assumption that they are real and they all live in Transylvania.
Transylvania.
Kermit the frog.
Vampire Kermit.
If you guys have ever watched I think it's like the second Muppets movie when Kermit goes to Russia. And they're always like, Kermit. Yeah.
Kermit.
I understand that Transylvania is not Russia. I do understand that.
I know.
I do get that.
I know you get it.
But what I'm saying is the accent.
It's a joke.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
Yeah.
We'll end it there.
All right. Well, Monica, you're the best.
You're the best, Jessica.
Have a lovely evening.
You too. See you next week.
Bye.